Hello and welcome to Crosstalk with your hosts, Martha Lee, Bill McMillan Sr., and Anna May, a podcast dedicated to encouraging and pointing people to Christ through the power of testimony, to provoke you to find your calling in the Lord. Hebrews 10:24 says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." This podcast is brought to you by Cornerstone Ministries New Life Church. So join us on this journey to reach the world for Christ, starting in our own backyard. We pray you enjoy the podcast and it blesses and encourages you, and may you grow in His Word and Spirit.
Welcome to Crosstalk. Tonight we have the pleasure of having Johnny McMillan with us again tonight. He's going to be talking to us about the 70s revivals. Welcome, John.
Hello, Martha.
Glad to have you, Johnny.
Thank you, Anna May.
Uncle Bill, you want to take us away tonight?
Amen, Johnny. We're glad to have you here because you're a blessing to the work that you've done for the Lord. And we're here tonight for the testimony that will help many people. Amen. So, Johnny, bless us with the words that you have tonight in the name of Jesus.
So, Johnny, what do you remember then about the big baptism? I believe it was 77 and the LA revival a couple of years later. You want to tell us what you remember?
I remember Uncle Doty stands out because he was in, he lived in Glendale. We lived in Hollywood, but he wandered into that church in Glendale. So I think that was like a divine thing from God and a Sunday night service or something. And then he came and evangelized all the apartment buildings. And the next thing, like 50, 60 people was being baptized a night in Glendale.
It was amazing.
It was amazing.
It was amazing.
Amen.
From elderly to children was being baptized, everybody. And it was definitely Uncle Doty's ministry at that time. God was working through him.
Amen.
God was definitely working through him.
Amen.
And he always had the burden for souls. We know what he was with witnessing in that. He always had the burden for souls from the beginning.
Yeah.
You know?
Amen.
So
what church was that, Johnny?
It was the Glendale First Southern Baptist Church.
Okay. It was Tommy Carney was
the man. Tommy Carney was the pastor.
Before AJ.
Before AJ.
God love
Before
AJ
that
was good.
Charlie Armentrout in Chicago.
Oh, Chicago, that's right.
When we were little, but that was Presbyterian and it died right away. We never reached salvation or anything. Yeah. Or the sinner's prayer or a proclamation of salvation. Nobody had made it then. You know.
So was that like a church everybody went to? I didn't know.
It turned into a church everybody went to. Yeah. It started off, he took you there to do the public profession of faith.
Uh-huh.
He would witness to you personally, you got saved. He walk you through the sinner's prayer, and then he would say, you need to come to church.
Amen.
Do it before men and be baptized. And he would get everybody to church, and he targeted communities, apartment buildings, and then like 50, 60 people would be in that weekend to be baptized. The altar would be full at the end of the service doing the public profession of faith, and then everybody would go in and get baptized.
That was a wonderful move.
It was a big work, and we all used to go to that church on Sundays, and once in a while we would go over to the Church on the Way.
Bobby and Nancy took us to the Church on the Way. I remember that clearly.
Mm-hmm. And we
and
had
it
a
was
lot
a
of
special good. Place,
and
too.
And then some people started going to Will Strong. And Roy's, it was a lot of good churches in L.A., a lot of wonderful works that was done in L.A. And Uncle Doty, a great man of God, a great soul winner. Great
Amen,
soul winner.
I'll say.
Amen. What do you Amen. Remember, Johnny, Amen. About the L.A. revival? You was what, about 15 then? Or
it was, I think I was 16. Am I? Yeah, 16. And what I remember was, when I look back on it now, it was that winter of Gilmore. Michael was in Orange County. You can go back a year to Orange County. Michael and Gwen Amen. Came and they ministered to us the whole winter, and they lived among us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like you could Amen. Go walk to their trailer and go in and sit down and visit with them. And then they had the meetings and that. But on Gilmore, Michael launched the youth meetings. I remember that specifically. There was, I think I think they were feeling, the pastors was feeling it was an overlooked, like maybe everybody got saved, but now we got to put some time in with the youth is what they were thinking. And I remember specifically the Vegas revival, which I never got to go to, but I was part of the L.A. revival and the Phoenix revival. Esther White was a big part of those.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, I mean, she was a big, big part of it. Pat and Mary Gorman was, too, because yeah, they had been involved in the South in revivals, mm-hmm. so they know how to put them together. And she reached out to them, or they reached out to her, however that happened. I'm not clear. But they got together and did the revivals.
Mm-hmm.
And you can never forget Pat Gorman singing the song. He's got the whole world in his hands.
That's right.
But he led worship. He was a worship leader.
Amen.
And Esther had a strong conviction for the youth. Mm-hmm. Her whole goal with them revivals was the youth. I mean, they taught everybody and they preached to everybody as a whole, but there was a strong emphasis on the youth. Like the L.A. revival, we was talking about it. We had the chapel, and we were in the chapel, all the youth, during the whole revival. We were being taught over in the chapel, separate from the adults. But the Sunday service, we all came together, and then they had the big buffet after it. But the other services, we was always over, and someone would come in and teach us in the chapel. The youth was taught over there because we were being fed more. You know, there was more of an emphasis on the youth, and that's what I remember a lot. I remember, like, all of it, too. Like, it was new salvation, our first works, and we were all on fire, and we wanted to learn more, and everybody truly was in love with God, and they was in love with the gospel.
Couldn't get enough.
And couldn't get enough and all of that. But with all that, we weren't misled. Like, we could have been very easily misled into some Jehovah's Witness or something, just as an example, not throwing them under the bus. But God's hand was with us because we weren't.
Like you said, he sent Michael to live amongst us.
He sent Michael came and lived among us, you know what I mean? So we weren't misled into some false teachings or that so easily could have happened because we were a very uneducated people. And it was new. It was something new.
Yeah.
And like we graduated from Presbyterian to Baptist in the beginning, and then we went to Assembly of God and the Church on the Way and Will Strong and so on and so on. We went more Pentecostal,
mm-hmm.
if you want to call it Pentecostal. Assembly of God, I don't. Fall Gospel, I say. And
do you remember who did the youth meetings and stuff that was in the chapel? Who was all doing them?
I remember Buddy George leading them. Mm-hmm. I remember him leading mm-hmm. them. I remember people would come over to specifically give a testimony. I remember Charlie Keith, married to Esther, came in and give a testimony one Sunday. And Big Huey Keith came in and give a testimony. I remember him talking to the youth.
Mm-hmm.
They would talk about how they were wild when they were young, and you gotta, don't waste your youth. You're wasting the best part of your life and all of that. They were encouraging you to serve God, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have to remember that, Johnny, at that time, them men was just maybe in their early 30s.
It was young men.
Yeah.
They were young men.
Yeah,
pitchers, they were all young men.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah.
And Michael, of course, I remember Michael teaching it. Mm-hmm. Remember Buddy George, remember Michael. And then I know a lot of the Southern pastors come over, but I don't know them by name now.
Right.
I know Ernest Eddington. I would know him if I seen him.
Mm-hmm.
But there was like Cole Oil Young, you remember him? There was a lot of them would come over and do lead the service there, you know, and Michael would emcee it because we were familiar with Michael. He was always there.
Right.
He was the familiar face, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, till that time, I didn't even know there was such a thing as a youth meeting. I knew Sunday school, of course, and and like you said, our families was all most of them, I guess, Presbyterian, but they read the word, and the old ones lived the word and passed it down. It's so important to read the word and pass it down to your kids, even if till they come to the age of accountability. They laid that groundwork, that pathway for us. Till where it hit all of us and our eyes was open to it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's every generation. We take it for granted because we have churches, but I truly believe since we're talking about youth that we have to lay that groundwork so that our children and grandchildren don't take it for granted that just because it's here, they have to know him for themselves, a personal relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Amen.
And you can see where God removed the veil off of our people's eyes.
Yes, amen.
Because you look today, a perfect example is Israel. The veils in their eyes. They can't see Jesus as the Savior. You know what I mean? They just, it's a veil, a wall's there, like, that's blocking it. But it was removed off. We were stubborn people, very similar, a very stubborn people.
Mm-hmm.
And we was open and accepted it right away. We accepted it. We knew it was right. And we got saved and baptized and we pressed in. And that the veil was removed from our eyes and we seen the truth, you know, and the truth set us all free.
Amen.
Well, the Bible says some plants, some water, but God gives the increase. There was, again, the older ones reading the word, plant and praying, whatever they knew. Uncle Doty come along and he watered and a lot of people in that seed that was planted and it cropped up, and then the next thing, God gave the increase. Amen? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
And we can't figure it out, but thank God for people that stepped out in faith and witnessed us all.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I wasn't in L.A. I seen pictures of it all the time. I wasn't there.
Well, we came to Phoenix afterwards, and I think yous were at the Phoenix
one. Yeah, we was in the Phoenix one,
We came to Phoenix afterwards, and we wrapped it up there.
Yeah. Anyhow, but it looked like, and everybody was talking about it, what a tremendous move there was in L.A.
It was a move of love.
And then we went to Spiro after Phoenix.
I was in Spiro.
Spiro in the spring. Yeah. Spiro, Oklahoma, of all places, too.
I was in
Spiro. Who would have thought we'd ever... Yeah. Be in Spiro, Oklahoma.
And we went more than once.
I was there twice.
I was there twice, too.
It was a beautiful move, too.
It was beautiful.
It was a tremendous move, too. Well, it was like everywhere. Amen. It was just God was
God gathered them people all together, the same race of people, in Spiro, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. You know what I mean? It was all divine. It was all God.
It was divine.
I think they're still all doing it all in Spiro, too. They're still...
They're still in there serving.
Yeah, they've kept
going. They've never failed or faltered.
No,
they've stayed.
They have, yeah.
They
yeah.
ran the course. They've ran
That's
the course.
That's it. That's it, yeah.
So where are we going to go with moving on up through the 80s and 90s, Johnny? Do you remember any outstanding moments or gotcha moments?
Well, I'll tell you what I remember, and I mean, it'll go... Well, we're going to go a little the opposite direction. I think in the 80s, I don't know if I think we went cold. I don't know if I call it a falling away. Things chilled in the 80s. Everyone around me, we fell out of church and that. I remember there would be times, like if we was in Texas, we would go to the church because it was good, real good churches. I don't remember going to church in Arizona, you know, outside of if there was a traveler meeting.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That if someone came to town, but I don't remember going to a church. I remember your oldest girl getting christened in a Presbyterian church. I have the paperwork from that.
Yep.
But I don't remember nothing outside of them little things like that. So there was a move, like a cold, the coldness or something came. But then,
there was a remnant of people that...
There was a remnant, yes.
Because I remember going to Assembly
always
God, of God's
always has
and then
his
that,
remnant.
The word, I believe it was called the man he helped do the Spirit-filled Bible. It was on University over there in Mesa, and Charlie can tell you the name. We used to go on Saturday nights a lot with
the
Esther.
The Living Word?
No, not the Living Word. I believe it was called Word of Grace.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't it, Martha, Word of Grace?
Gary Kinnaman.
Gary Kinnaman, there it was. And it was a really good church here.
Well, I remember, like, we went and seen Walter Martin, Kingdom of the Cults. We were still, and we went and seen TBN at the Sweetwater Valley of the church.
But now it come more talking, like became more like a concert.
Came way less. We weren't.
It's entertainment.
We weren't devout. We weren't.
Right.
It's like we weren't serving God as much as we were a few years before. I remember we'll go back to Gilmore, the LA Revival winner, and aside from a few weeks over Christmas and New Year's, maybe the last couple of weeks we were in town. We went witnessing on Hollywood Boulevard. The youth went witnessing on Hollywood Boulevard at nighttime.
Yeah.
We would go down. And I remember standing for like 30 and 40 minutes, and I would meet up with you. And did you talk to anybody? Yeah, I just was like 30 or 40 minutes with a man dressed like a woman.
Yeah, I remember
you
that.
You know what I mean? We didn't know what to call them. We called the men dressed like women at the time. and standing, talking, sharing the gospel, and them crying and sobbing and accepting Christ and all that, you know.
It was a good time, too,
but
Johnny.
See, that was the youth that was doing that. See, Esther had that burden for the youth, and look at what the youth was doing.
Right.
And it spread from city to city. It went through the country like that, like a fire. It does. The Holy Ghost does that. And
that was probably the 80s, around the time that Ham's Church and that popped up, wasn't it?
It's here that we went through that dry spell. We'll call it a dry spell. That would be the best term for it. And we end it in Jersey. We end it moving to South Jersey, to Cherry Hill, and ended up dropping down to Delaware. And the first two people, I remember your brother Alec was one. Anime.
Yep.
He went down to the church in Delaware, and Tommy and Jesse, and they would say, you can't imagine how good the church is. It's unbelievable. And we went down. I went down for Easter of 1991, Easter of 91 it would have been. And the service was like 6 hours long, the Easter service. But it was unbelievable. I couldn't get enough. That's where God brought us back in.
We used to drive up from Cherry Hill. You'd spend the day. You'd go get something to eat and go back to church at night.
We went to all the midweek services. There was a men's service on Tuesday night. There was a Wednesday night.
Then they brought them up to Corman Suites when we was in. You remember Corman Suites?
And Peggy McKenzie come up and did the women's meetings, the ladies' meetings. She taught the ladies and that.
Yep.
That was an amazing time.
It was an amazing time. It was amazing another time. incredible move.
When you see God moving like that, you can. And when you look back on it, it's unbelievable you can see God's hand in it all.
It's undescribable when you get those God moments. You get them throughout your walk with Christ. And just because you're not in a God moment doesn't mean he's not with you. I don't mean that. But through my experience growing as a Christian, every so often you get those God moments, and they're life-changing.
I remember, I can tell you something, it's an example. In L.A., I remember it was Dave and Tootie said, Bobby and Nancy said there's a church over in the valley, and it's unbelievable. It's called the Church on the Way, and we're going to meet them there Sunday. Do you want to go? And we all went. And how that church was, there'd be hundreds of people out on the sidewalks, and the doors opened. The doors was automatic, like Disneyland. And when the doors opened, everybody flooded inside the church. And he greet you going into the sanctuary, Jack Hayford. He was standing in the doorway, like the gates of the city. He was in the gates of the city, and he greeted you going into the church. And the church was unreal. But I remember standing talking to Nancy Watson there in front of the church like yesterday. And she had a gold charm on her neck with a V in it. And I said, what does it mean? And she said, he bought it for me in Vail. He went up to Vail and was working in Vail, Colorado. And he bought it in a jewelry store in the main street of Vail. That's how clear I can remember that.
Yeah. They had prayer groups. They would tell you to, like, six people go in a circle
and
pray.
Yeah, they did. The
you
prayer circles had broken in. And then I remember we signed up on Gilmore for the Sunday night. It was $20 for the curriculum and that. And it was the rapture, resurrection, and reason.
Yeah.
It was about the end times, and we did it. And I remember Jack Hayford had a show on TBN, and it was called Teach Us How to Pray. That was his show on
TBN. Good topic.
Teach us how to pray. Well, that's what the apostles asked Jesus. Teach us how to pray. And it's nowhere in the Gospels. It's not recorded of the apostles ever praying. But they asked Jesus. They didn't know how. That's how ignorant they were. And look what God did with them. And they went and asked, like, teach us how to pray. We don't know how to pray. And it's not recorded nowhere of them praying. And Jesus showed them the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer.
The template for prayer, right?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. You said something, Johnny, that you went to the Easter service in Delaware, and it went on for hours. It was long.
But it flew by. It was so
good. And that was common back then.
Yes.
Services. I remember going to Bubby Wells.
They let the Spirit lead.
Had them in Chicago, all the meetings, and they would go on for a long time. And we went three times a week, or I can't remember. We had two on Sunday and Wednesday, and they went on for hours, like you said, and it was like they were spirit-led. It was, and it didn't bother nobody.
No.
It was like you didn't want to go home. It was like, you know.
There's no place you'd rather be.
Now we're kind of, we want to get our lunch, and, you know, we got to.
We're not in a place. I don't think we're in a place right now where we were in the 80s.
No.
I think we're better. We're much better. I think we might be more mature.
Yes.
We might be more mature Christians. I don't think we're cold.
No.
Or nothing like that. I think just we're more, I feel I'm more confident in my salvation. You know what I mean? If I make a mistake, I know the grace is there. It's things I didn't know when I was young. I know now that God's, Jesus is always intervening for me up there. Mm-hmm. You know, pleading my case for me, and I know that. So when I when I was young, I had a problem. When I would sin, I felt like I was lost again.
Right.
I'm not saved no more when I was young. Now, like, it's took a lifetime, but now I guess it's a sanctification process. Right. I understand. I'm always going to make mistakes.
Everyone
I'm human.
Is. Yes,
I'm not,
we are.
That would put me in the same position as God if I thought
right.
I was going to be perfect. But I have a God that intervenes for me. You know what I mean?
Well, our scripture would be that if you should fall, you have an advocate with
the
Father, Jesus.
An advocate, yeah, he's constantly there advocating for
us. But it's as if. That means not purposing in your heart. Everyone makes mistakes. In Romans 8, it says there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus who walk after the Spirit, not the flesh. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life. So what does that mean? Just what you said, Johnny. You're living for Christ, you're reading your word, you're praying, you're being spiritually minded, but you may slip and fall.
That's
so
right.
There's no condemnation in
for
that.
For those that's in Christ Jesus.
That those that's in Christ. You might have conviction and the Holy Spirit saying to you, uh-oh, you know.
Yeah.
And then you go back.
Oh, yeah,
and
that would be, it's a good thing.
That's a good thing. But you're not condemned because you're walking after the Spirit. Only ones condemned is those who are carnally minded, living after the flesh, you know.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And
amen.
That's it. So there is in Christ, when we know we are his, and we know we've accepted him as Savior, he does the work in us, and we're not condemned no more.
No.
And we aren't condemned. We may get convicted. I get convicted all the time.
It's a good thing to separate conviction from condemnation.
Yeah. There you go. It's two complete
things. Separating repentance from remorse.
Amen.
Judas had remorse. Peter had repentance.
There you go. Amen.
There's a difference. A fine line. You know what I mean? They may look the same, but they aren't.
I was thinking when you said that you had a problem, like you when you did something, you felt like you was like you felt condemned. Like
I'm
you
not
wasn't
saved no more. That's how I felt.
Yeah, but I had a problem. I guess. I must have been like a Pharisee. I was like, I didn't do anything wrong. I don't understand what all these people's problems is. I don't have these problems. So I didn't have no condemnation, no nothing. It was a big Pharisee. I was like, I don't even know. What I just didn't think I had no issues at all. I had it all together.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
I'm glad someone did.
Oh, Lord. Lord,
we've all come
us.
A long way in Jesus. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Johnny, what do you think the key, since we got you here, Uncle Bill, Johnny, Martha, whoever, what do you think the key of, let's say, the survival rate of a Christian? We're in an army. What do you think makes those that endure to the end, what do you think it is that makes a difference, is what I'm trying to say, in your walk with Christ Jesus?
I think the love that he sheds upon us.
Yeah. I think it has to do a lot with prayer and studying the Word and love, of course, Uncle Bill. When you read the Word, you get to know him. Unless you read the Word, you don't. It says he was the Word and became flesh. And pray, Holy Spirit, reveal it to me.
Yes.
And when he opens your heart to the Holy Spirit, that Word comes alive and quick and powerful. And I think that's what equips us, you know?
Well, and for me, I think surrounding myself with like-minded people.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, being in church.
Never forsake.
Studying, like in groups. And like if I was off doing my own thing, I'd probably be off doing my own thing again. That's, you know, I have to keep myself in that.
Bad company spoils good behavior.
Yeah, yeah. So what about you?
I think, all right, so I got the question right. You mean like,
What
makes
you on
a
the
person
path?
To endure?
Yeah. Yeah.
To endure.
Endurance.
All right, a truly saved person is going to endure. They're going to endure to the end.
Mm-hmm.
Someone that is not truly saved is not going to make it down the road six blocks.
Right.
That they're going to get sidetracked. The enemy's going to throw something
that's
in their path.
Yep.
And something I thought of a couple of years ago in Mexico was the wide path and the narrow path. What do you think the wide path looks like, and what do you think the narrow path looks like? The narrow path looks boring, but the wide path has everything on it that you would ever dream of. It looks like any other city, road into a city. It even has churches on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was good.
Churches that's going to deceive you that mm-hmm. you're saved, mm-hmm. that you don't even have to be saved, and you're going to make it. You know
that's
what I mean?
Right.
So everything's on that wide path, and that's what distracts the person that's not truly saved.
That's
you know?
Good. That was good.
I think it all starts with, I hate the term, but it all starts with an experience with Jesus.
It
salvation.
Is an experience.
Spontaneous
that's
right. salvation.
That's the truth.
And then the sanctification process starts. Written it's with reading your Bible, because how do you get to know Jesus? The Academy said mm-hmm. Jesus is the Word. You get Amen. To know him through the Word and the Holy Spirit.
And the Holy Spirit.
By divine revelation.
Father, Son, Holy Ghost are one.
Revelation and reading the Word prayed up in the Spirit. You'll get to know Jesus and how to live. And you'll want more, and you'll want to live it more, and you'll want to read more. And it's just how it is. And you go through sanctification. Mm-hmm. Some people don't like... The thief on the cross never had no time to get sanctified and immediately went to
right.
heaven with Jesus. You
mm-hmm.
know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And he never went through the sanctification process. Mm-hmm. So that part of it, like, there's things, mysteries we don't know. That's just mm-hmm. a mystery Jesus, I don't know.
No.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, Johnny, you talked about the narrow path, and what come to my heart is this. There's a scripture, and I always confuse it. It's either Psalms 18 or Psalms 118, but I believe it's 18, and it says, Lord, enlarge the path under my feet. That's a narrow path. Or some translation says, help me, Lord, not to slip off the path. So if you can slip off, well, like we often do, and we have to go back and repent and rely on that conviction and grace. I'm not saying slip off to the pits of hell. I'm talking about making mistakes, you know, heading a detour on our path. If you can slip off of it, then you're on the little narrow one. You don't need him to enlarge the wide road. So that should be a prayer for our heart. Help me, God, stay upon your path.
Amen.
And do everything you said. Read, pray, the Holy Spirit. That's a trifecta. Father, Son, Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Read, pray, Holy Spirit. A Christian needs to read, pray, mm-hmm. Holy Spirit. And
yes.
like Martha said, keep good company. I've heard people say
Amen.
This. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. How many times have you heard that?
Mm-hmm.
But I heard a man say, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. But if you feed it enough hay, you can make it thirsty.
Mm-hmm.
You hang around long enough eating hay, and you're going to get thirsty.
It'll get you one way or another.
Yeah.
So widen the path, Lord, under my feet.
Amen. Amen.
Or enlarge it. Yes.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Martha?
Anything else you want to add, Johnny?
God's a God of restoration, even Amen. If some people... We do know not everybody's saved or not saved, but there is the backslider, too.
Absolutely.
The Bible talks about the backslider, but Jesus is married to the backslider.
Amen.
That's a Ham Parker. I'll throw that in for Ham.
Amen.
He used to say it. And those people are people that were saved but get sidetracked.
Mm-hmm.
But God's got a plan, and he brings them back. They're the one that got away.
Mm-hmm.
They're the one against the 99 that got away, and Jesus leaves the 99 and goes after the one because they're so important to him.
The house that was built on the sand.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
And so,
what does it say to a righteous man? Falls seven times, but he gets back up. Nobody's perfect.
No, not one. No.
It's right. The commitment.
Well, we all stumble and fall in
yes.
our walk and in our sanctification, but then there's the one, you've seen them, that drifts back into the world, but then they get back. God mm-hmm. brings them back. And you know it was God brought them back.
Absolutely.
And mm-hmm. you know that's the one out of the 90,
yeah.
one out of the 100
yeah.
that God went after and
mm-hmm.
brings them back, you know.
Amen.
Well, that shows
Amen.
You the kind of God we serve, John.
Just shows you the kind of God we yeah. serve.
Amen.
So we'd have
Amen.
To wrap it up with this. There's hope, there's hope, there's hope.
Amen, amen, amen.
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 And as
amen.
Corrie ten Boom said, if I quote her right, there is no pit too deep that the love of God is not deeper still.
Amen.
Amen.
I've been in that pit. How I can talk about that is I was in that pit for 20 years.
Amen.
And God came after me and got me and brought me back.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Amen.
And God is a God of restoration.
Amen.
Even when that was all, I was restored. He restored me into the family of God and into his flock. But my children... And it was nothing to do with them. They had every right in the world because I was a monster. And I cannot completely understand it. I can understand that. But God restored that.
Mm-hmm.
God
Amen.
Restored that.
Amen.
we was going to Florida in 2017. Now, throw this out. It won't take a second, but it may touch somebody. And they made all the reservations for restaurants and everything because they're booked out for months before we ever went down there. And the one was called Prime Italian or Prime Steakhouse.
Yeah, I know.
And it was the first night we were in Miami. We ghosted. And, I mean, it was not the 4th of July. We went in June because it was much cheaper to go in June. And when we walked in the restaurant... your table's right here. There was two tables close to the front of the restaurant, and the one table was Clara and Dan, and like their friends, it was John Paul and Marianne's girl, and the boy, I think it's Dan, Alexander's boy Dan, and that, and there was other people at the table. So they put us at the next table, but everybody ran and got their seats. Me and Clara's two chairs was back to back. Now, we're 3,000 miles from Phoenix and Las Vegas or however far it is down to Miami, and we're in a steakhouse, and just so happens she's in there, and just so happens they seat us at the next table, and my chair and her chair's back to back. So any kind of shimmying I did in the chair, the two chairs clanged and banged against each other. And they were all saying, turn around and talk to her, turn around and talk to her, Bill and Jeannie and everybody. They were encouraging me to do the right thing. And I said, I know they're right because they're better than me. And I turned around and said, what are you doing, Claire? And she said, nothing, Dad. What are you doing? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So see how God was a God of restoration?
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And then from there, it all fell like dominoes. And I love my daughters, and they're amazing.
Amen.
Amazing. I'm so happy with them and so proud of them, you know?
Yeah.
Yes.
But see how God even restored that. And it was, but it was in God's time. It wasn't in my time. Right. If I'd have made it happen, it would have been a disaster.
Well, first God had to restore you, Johnny.
Yes.
And then he could restore your relationship with your kids. And you, I have to say, you got three wonderful daughters. You were blessed.
I agree. Yeah.
Well, we want to thank you, Johnny, for coming on. Uncle Bill, do you have anything you want to add before we wrap her up?
Yes, this is a beautiful testimony. And the Lord said to us, I will never leave you or forsake you. So don't worry about if you stumble and fall, because he'll never leave you or forsake you. Amen. Thanks again, Johnny. You were a blessing.
Amen. You always are, Johnny. We appreciate you, and thank you for coming on and praying for us and supporting this ministry.
Amen. Thank you, Johnny. I'm glad to have you again.
I have my cousin from my mom's side. Dad's side here, Anime and Martha.
Oh, and
don't get no better than that. Don't
got
get no better
close
than
quarters
that.
Yeah. Right now, too.
They can, this room's tight. Yeah. You can beat me up in this room.
Yeah, this is a tight room.
Yeah, small quarters. You can get me in here.
All right, take care and God bless.
All right, God bless.
Well, that's our podcast for this week. Join us next Monday for the latest podcast. And remember, you can scroll down and listen to any that you missed. Please follow us on Spotify and tap the notification bell to have every new podcast loaded automatically. The Spotify app is free and it makes it much easier. We will be posting new podcast links on New Life Church Facebook page every Monday. Thank you for listening, and we hope you listen next week. God bless.